Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Desitarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Katyayani Mahamaye Mahayogina Dishari Nanda Gopa Sutam Devi Patime Kurute Namaha. O Katyayani Devi, O great goddess, please make the son of Nanda Maharaj my husband. Day and night, the girls meditated upon this mantra, even while sleeping. We have heard already about their longing and their determination, and we have also heard about their exquisite worship. We have also heard how Katyayani Devi appeared in their minds and assured them that their secret desired marriage would in fact take place. Then the young girls became wild with excitement, and together they went to the Jamuna and they took their clothes and placed them on the river bank. And they went into the Jamuna's waters. While listening to this discussion between Krishna and the gopis, we must keep in mind that whilst he's teasing these young girls, he is also Yogeshwara Vara, which means the master of all masters of yoga. And therefore, because he is so powerful, he is capable of stealing all the garments of all the girls at one time without being noticed. And even when the garments had been placed in full view, he is also capable of taking these young girls from respectable families who would consider the embarrassment of losing their clothes more serious than giving up their lives, and making them come out of the water and bow to him. He is also capable of avoiding any romantic enjoyment with any of the girls, even though they are in a secluded place and they are fully under his control. Yesterday, we heard how the girls completed their worship and playfully entered into the water, leaving their clothes on the shore. Understanding the nature of the vrat that these girls had been performing for the past month, Krishna, accompanied by four very little gopa boys, came there, watching them laughing and playing in the water. He who gives happiness to all and never inflicts pain upon others prepared himself to act. He tied up his hair under his turban and he pulled up his cloth and he quietened his ankle belts. And then with a glaring look to silence the silly talk of the little boys, then he crouched down so the girls couldn't see him. And he ran to the bank of the river, adopting the mood of a thief. He grabbed their clothes, snatched their clothes, and climbed up in a tall kadamba tree and hid himself and the clothes behind the leaves of a large branch. Moments later, the gopis were preparing to return to the shore when they noticed that they could not see their clothes. Shocked, the gopis turned to each other. Who has stolen our clothes? There is nobody here. There is nobody here except the rays of the sun. They looked on the bank and they said, on the bank there is only the footprints of some water birds. One gopi said, perhaps some devatas who never touched the ground have passed this way and hidden our clothes. They looked at each other in great anxiety and they said, what are we going to do? This is a great mystery. Fearfully, they glanced along the Jamuna, trying to understand what had happened. They argued about various possibilities. As they scanned all directions, not seeing them anywhere, they became submerged in an ocean of sorrow. Oh! Then, from high up in the Gatamba tree, Krishna began to laugh very loudly. And his small friends and his small friends giggled. Hearing Krishna's laughter, the young gopis looked up in astonishment. And there they saw the young prince of Braj, who removes the sadness of the world, sitting high up in a tree whose branches now displayed their clothing, hanging everywhere like a colorful canopy. They looked at one another. They looked at one another and immediately they submerged themselves in the Jamuna's dark, cold water. Oh! Krishna said, my dear girls, please come here one after another, pray for your garments and take them away. As a playful bee glances at lotus flowers, Krishna glanced at the faces of those divinely beautiful girls. Hearing Krishna speak, they lowered their heads in shyness. They cast sidelong glances at him to reprimand this expert thief who fulfills all desires. Inwardly, they understood that the fruit of the vine of their Katyayani Vrat, which is extremely difficult to obtain, had now spontaneously ripened. They recognized this difficult circumstance as a gift awarded to them on the completion of their worship. Yet, externally, Krishna's appearance seemed like extreme good fortune arriving at the wrong time. Their joy in their hearts drew them towards him, yet their natural shyness held them back and filled them with confusion. In this bewildered state, they ignored the cold, chilling Jamuna water and remained submerged up to their necks. None of the gopis could respond to Krishna's request. For a long time, they deliberately refused to answer him or even to look towards the Kadamba tree. They whispered secretly amongst themselves. Secretly, one gopi said, "We should try and reason with him." Another one said, "We must defeat him with clever words." Another one said, "No, we should be very firm." Another one said, "You talk to him." Then one gopi very boldly spoke up and she said, "Your heroism is the heroism of thieves. It makes you hide like a coward on the branch of the tree. Our situation is very difficult and sad. First we have been robbed by you, and now we are forced to stand here in this freezing cold water." With pretended astonishment, Sri Krishna said, "Who has stolen from you?" They said, "Dear boy, you are the respectable son of the great king of Vrindavan, who instructs everyone in proper behavior, and you are an ocean of good qualities. How could you play a trick like this on us?" Krishna replied in a voice that implied he was completely free of any mischief. He said, "Dear girls, do you perhaps know who might have taken all these clothes and put them on the branches of this Kadamba tree? I was grazing my cows far, far away, and seeing this from a distance, I thought, what kind of a tree is this that is bearing different colorful clothing as its flowers and fruits? Curious to see this wonder, I quickly came here and I climbed up the tree." The girls replied, "Dear boy, those garments belong to us. You have stolen them and taken them high up into the branches of this tree. Why have you done this? You have stolen them? Krishna said, My dear girls, do not speak like this. You are perhaps daughters of poverty-stricken fathers, and that must be why you are illegally demanding these garments. Wishing to trick me, you have entered into these waters, and now you are pretending to be saintly. In truth, you are very proud. If you believe that these garments are indeed yours, then come and reclaim them. You may stay in the water as long as you like. And as long as you stay in the water, I will stay in the sky, sitting on the branches of this tree. The gopis responded, Kindly look very carefully at those garments and consider whether they belong to women or men. Krishna, Well, it does seem that they're women's garments. But are you the only women in this world? There aren't any others? The gopis, indeed, there are others. But what other girls besides us are coming to this secluded place? Krishna, aha, oh dear young visitors to secluded places. Why is it that you think that you and no one else is playing in this secluded place? The gopi said, Oh wise young boy, we have not come here to play. We have come here for a different purpose. We have come here to worship Goddess Durga, the presiding deity of this Kadamba tree. Krishna said, Ah, you are worshippers of Durga. The gopis said, That is why we are here. Krishna said, I see. But you foolish young girls have forgotten. Goddess Durga is worshipped here regularly every midnight by demigoddesses who come on their celestial aeroplanes. Gopis said, That's all right, let them do their worship. But why would these demigoddesses who are worshipping Durga leave their clothes and go away? Krishna said, Dear girls, do you not understand the facts of this matter? The demigoddesses are coming back this very night to once more finally worship her. And these are the sacrificial clothes that they left here to put on once more after they have taken their final bath. The gopis said, Dear Krishna, you are the one who does not understand the facts. It was we who were performing the worship, and it was we who put our garments here today while taking our bath. Somehow or another, our garments appear to have been taken high up on the branches of this tree by the presiding deity of this forest. Krishna said, "My dear, beautiful girls, you have spoken well. Now I understand. It is because of your fatigue from executing your vow that you cannot come here." The gopis said, "We are not able to go there." Seeing Krishna teasing them like this, these beautiful young gopis were simultaneously thrilled. They had never spoken to Krishna before. They had never even exchanged a glance with him before. And now he had come and he was speaking and teasing and laughing at them. So they were thrilled, and yet at the same time, they could never give up their natural shyness, because their chastity and their love for Krishna were equal. Krishna continued, "O lotus-eyed girls, I am not a skillful speaker who is prone to lying. There are such eloquent speakers who are so habituated to lying that even when they're telling lies, they repeatedly say it is true. And people accept their lies as truth. But I am not like that. It is well known that my words are always true. Even in joking, I do not conceal the all-auspicious truth." The gopis continued to try and reason with Krishna. They said, "O deliverer of harsh words, O clever young boy, do not try to bewilder us with your wit." Krishna smiled and said, "It is not proper to joke with girls who are practicing vrats. Actually, the deity of this forest stole your garments, and I fought with him, and I defeated him, and I recovered them. O frail and delicate young girls, whose limbs are becoming numb from the river's coldness, come out and take them back. When I say, 'Come and take your beautiful clothes,' I am not telling a lie." Looking at Krishna, the gopis inquired, "May we see our garments first? Just throw the garments down here into the water, or send one little boy to bring them." And stretching out their arms, they made a slight motion to come out of the water. Krishna replied, "O lotus-eyed girls, it would be impossible for me to tell which garment is yours and which one belongs to another. How can I just give them all to you like that? Just come a little closer so I can watch and see that no girl takes another girl's garments and no garments are accidentally inter-exchanged." The gopis said, "Dear boy, your words are meant to trick us." Govinda replied, "If you prefer to stay in the water, I can also return your clothes after tearing them into tiny, tiny pieces. Now the gopis felt very anxious. Or, Krishna said, if you girls, who are like birds, do not come here, then I shall take your clothes and make a hammock out of them and tie it to the branches of the trees. Oh, because I really need to lie down. Oh, since I spent the entire night awake and I have now become very sleepy. The girls were looking at Krishna. Oh, dear cowherd boy, look, look, look. Your cows, they're very greedy for grass and they've gone into a cave. You have to come down quickly and run after them and turn them back. Krishna said, dear girls, it is you who must run quickly home and perform your household duties. Do not become a disturbance to your parents and elders. The gopis said, O dear Krishna, who wears a peacock feather on his head, we are not going home for an entire month. It is the order of our parents and our elders that we have been sent here to execute a vow of fasting for an entire month. Krishna said, my dear auspicious ladies, you are so austere. How auspicious! By the strength of your devotion, I too have developed a surprising mood of detachment from family life. I will also stay here for a month, executing a vow of dwelling in the clouds. Or, if you show mercy to me, I can come down and engage in your company. The girls were delighted by these joking, tricky words. Yet at the same time, they were submerging even more deeply into the water. They said, because you speak so many lies, we cannot have any faith in your vow. Krishna said, never have I placed a lie in my mouth. In the past, I never spoke anything false. At present, I speak the truth, and in future also. I cannot think of any time in my life that I've spoken anything false. However, if you do not believe me, then ask these righteous people who have gathered here. And he pointed to the little boys. The gopis laughed and said, truly, they seem to know you very well. And they do appear very righteous. And Krishna said, aha, if you're unsure about me, then make an examination with your own eyes. One of you should come forward, one who is less important. And when I do not play a trick on them, then the others can also come. Seeing Krishna's affectionate dealings, the gopis became immersed in love for him. They glanced at one another and they began to laugh, even in their great embarrassment. Krishna continued, I saw some crafty-looking people near here, And since you are all from good families, and since someone has stolen your clothes, I must surely help you. Hearing this, the girls thought, ah, he is trying to get us to reveal the exact intentions within our hearts. He's become so expert at this. We must go along with his jokes and serve him. Then they spoke clearly. They said, Shyamasunda, we are your servants and we will obey your order. And Krishna spoke with a smile and he said, then do what I previously stated. Noticing that they still didn't come out of the water, Krishna remained silent. Gopis, O knower of Dharma, give us our clothes. Give us our clothes. Have mercy upon us. We would rather drown in the Jamuna than stand before you unclothed. Krishna remained silent. The gopis, trying to instill fear in he who has no fear, they said, if you do not do this, we will tell the king. Krishna said, when will you become my servants? When will you follow my words? If you really want to do as I say, then come here wearing your smiles and not even a little bit of rudeness. You should clearly know this action of mine is my mercy upon you. If you do not rise up out of the water, I will not return your clothes. The gopis looked at one another. We have been defeated by our we have been defeated by our own words. They said, I am your servant. If our prayer, Katyayani Mahamaye, if our prayer bears fruit, then we will attain Krishna as our husband, and we will continue to maintain our bodies. And if our prayer does not bear fruit, then we will drown ourselves in the Jamuna. Why should somebody who is on the verge of death care if they are embarrassed by standing without clothing? Let us force ourselves to go forward. Closing our eyes, we will cover our bodies with darkness. Now, let us leave and go to the shore. And it is here that we will leave these girls, shy, embarrassed and full of the happiness of love. And tomorrow night, we will hear what happened next. Thank you, Hare Krishna.